Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast, your Friday edition of the show. Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. Tom, I'm hopefully, first off, actually, before I even make a joke about it, did you see, how did you not see, the Colorado Avalanche reporter asking Nathan MacKinnon a question after the game on Thursday night? You saw it, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Let's just jump right in. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today on today's podcast, especially the conference finals. Although I don't even know if I'm allowed to call them the conference finals. Semifinals?
Yeah, I think stick with Stanley Cup semifinals, as we've recently discovered, right, is the true naming of them this year.
They will still be giving out the Clarence Campbell Trophy and the Prince of Wales Trophy. So Montreal can have their name on a trophy that they basically would never otherwise be able to win. So that'll be strange. But it is strange just to see a Montreal-Vegas playoff series just in general. But anyways, Adrian Dater is the name of the reporter. And I've been looking through his Twitter today and reading some of his stuff. And he's owned it. I mean, if you haven't heard the clip, go hear it yourself. We technically couldn't even really play it on the podcast because there was swearing in it. And like the funniest part of it is probably the swearing part of it.
Yeah.
It happens, right? Like, I think people are dunking on him and like that's inevitably going to happen. But it was funny. But I think that the guy just had a brain fart.
Yeah, it those happen. First of all, let's preface it with those happen in inopportune times. But I don't like critiquing our peers unless they do something so ridiculous, and this is there. But this guy's been around for a long time. I don't know Adrian particularly well. I don't know him at all. Maybe enough to say hello in the press box. I know he was in the bubble. I just said hi to him last summer. But he's been around. He's a well known writer. There's a reason why he's stuck around for so long, and to have longevity in this business, you got to be doing something right. So credit where credit is due. Brain farts do happen. We don't always ask 10 Bell amazing questions. There's off days. But that moment is not one where you can have one of those brain farts. And listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not immaculate when it comes to my question asking, and you know, sometimes I throw high hard ones, sometimes I flub them up, sometimes, but you do this long enough and you generally minimize the mistakes, and that was a bad one. And he knows better than to swear, especially when everybody's watching, especially on a Zoom call. That's where the line was crossed. Like you said, he's owned it, but not a good look overall. I'm not here to nitpick at him either. I'm just saying it's not good. We all have our bad days.
That's right. All right, well, let's move on past that. Let's get into the series that just wrapped up, and then we'll get to the series that came, and then a little announcement at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned for that. Colorado-Vegas, it was a great series. There were a couple of blowout games early on in the playoffs that I think made it seem a little bit as though it wasn't living up to expectations at the start, but games 5 and 6, I mean, back and forth, just electric hockey up and down the ice, tons of skill, speed all over the place. I thought it really lived up to the billing. I thought it would go 7. I thought Colorado would win it. I mentioned it maybe on our podcast last Friday or either on the Tuesday episode maybe that going into the series, Colorado was minus 200 to reach the Stanley Cup final because they had looked so dominant in the first round of the playoffs, and they had looked so dominant all regular season. And Vegas, although they had also been very good, they had had their hiccups along the way. They had a little bit more trouble with Minnesota than people thought. So Colorado's like this massive favorite to reach the final, to win 2 rounds, because the North just wasn't getting that kind of respect. And I would hazard to say that I was stunned. I guess I was a little surprised that Vegas was able to pull it off in 6, but I think this series definitely lived up as two of the best teams in hockey. Maybe in my personal opinion, I tell you they're two of the top 3 teams in hockey that just had a great series.
Yeah, no argument there. I mean, I literally, I went to go grab a snack from my cupboard, and I turn around, it's 1-1. And I'm like, the puck just dropped. What the heck's going on here? And that game was just dynamite last night. I mean, end-to-end action, scoring chances galore, defensemen activating into the offense. I don't know how many times Cale Makar missed the net and was so close and had great opportunities, could have turned the tide. These are two of the best going just going 200 feet up and down the ice. It was so much fun to watch, Joe. It is almost unfortunate that it happens in the second round and not the third round, but who knows what Vegas, Montreal brings? Who knows what Tampa and New York brings? The Islanders and the Lightning going at it for a second straight year in the semifinals. Last year was the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe, I think that to a certain extent, I know a lot of people made a point of pushing or pointing to Vegas pushing Colorado's defense and saying that they're just too big and strong for them. I don't know if I fully buy that. I said this going into the series, I believe with you or with Sarah Avampato on the Wednesday edition of Locked On NHL, I thought that you could get to Philip Grubauer. And I think Vegas did a good job of that. And you look at that lineup with the Colorado Avalanche, you go, man, that's a rock solid forward group. That defense is pretty solid in itself. And then you go to the goaltending and you're like, all right, you got Devin Dubnyk backing up, and Dubnyk, you know, multi-time all-star. And then you've got Philip Grubauer, who's a Vezina finalist this year, had a tremendous season. But at the same time, Joe, his body of work doesn't scream superstar goaltender like Marc-Andre Fleury. And that to me was the weakness. And that is what got exposed in my eyes, not the Colorado defense. And who knows, maybe Nazem Kadri just would have added to the depth of the Avs, but I don't know if it would have been that much of a factor. I thought the Golden Knights did a great job of getting to Grubauer, and that was the difference.
Yeah. He's a free agent, by the way. The Avalanche have a couple of big notable free agents: Philip Grubauer, Gabriel Landeskog, Brandon Saad, Carl Soderberg, Pierre Edward Belmar. Like, they got a lot. Tyson Jost is an RFA. They got a lot of guys to pay. And they have $19 million in salary cap. Cale Makar, by the way, how did I not mention him? He's a restricted free agent. Hmm. So they might have a tough time fitting everybody in. I think inevitably they'll probably be able to do it, in part because they have probably the most valuable contract in the sport, which is Nathan MacKinnon at $6.3 million. But I don't know. Like, if I'm Grubauer, I would want to stay there. So that's why I think it'll get done. If you're Phil Grubauer... Sure, you can go test the market. Maybe you can go try to maximize your value and then bring that offer back to Colorado to get them to match it. But if you're Philip Grubauer, there's no team in the league that you're going to have the number one starting job all to yourself that is this good.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And he's proven that he is quite effective with this team, and he's got a good rhythm and groove going, and who knows where he could take them. But he never had that superstar pedigree, and there's a reason why. But Joe, as we've seen in the last decade and a half, you don't need a superstar stud goaltender to win a Stanley Cup. You just need a really good goalie that can get the job done and hold the fort and let your defense take care of the rest and your offense take care of everything in the offensive zone.
Yeah. Now, that is, of course, I should bring up the example of last year. Just because it's hard to see them leaving doesn't mean that they couldn't, because last year, nobody really thought that Alex Pietrangelo was going to get away from St. Louis, and then he did, and then he went to Vegas. So I'm not saying it is going to happen, but it's at least possible that Grubauer would go take the most money somewhere else, or that Landeskog would go try to cash out. Landeskog's probably less likely because he's the captain of that team, and he's been there throughout his entire career. But Grubauer, among the upcoming UFA goaltenders, is certainly going to be the number one guy, I think.
Yep.
All right, well, how about them versus Montreal, the Vegas Golden Knights versus the Canadiens? I think that you've got Vegas being a huge favorite. The last I saw at BetOnline, they were approaching minus 200, which among the first round series would have been one of the most likely outcomes. That's hard to say, and we'll get into it here, because Montreal just, it's not even just that they beat Winnipeg, Tom. Like, they blew Winnipeg out. They were easily the better team, it seemed, all four games.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because Montreal's defense has played very well. Carey Price has been that stud superstar goalie that they need. And then offensively, it's kind of been a committee thing. Like collectively, they've scraped goals together, which is impressive. And in the playoffs, sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need a bunch of guys that score those ugly garbage goals at the right time. And it's all kind of coming together for the Montreal Canadiens. I know a lot of people are pointing to the LA Kings from a few years ago, how they kind of scraped it all together and were this resilient bunch. But this is the first time, Joe, that the Montreal Canadiens are going to face a team that can throw offensive pressure at them in wave after wave after wave, and even maybe a fourth wave with the fourth line, because the Golden Knights have three lines that can score. Some of the best offensive firepower in the league when it comes to Stone and Pacioretty. Don't forget Marchessault, Smith, and Carlson are tremendous. And then you've got Alex Tuck, who's on their third line, who's great. They've got Chandler Stephenson, who can contribute. Like, they are solid throughout offensively. Then their defense can hurt you because they've got a guy like Pietrangelo. They've got a guy like Shea Theodore. You got just a well-rounded guy in Alec Martinez. And then you got Marc-Andre Fleury back there. So this is an opposition that Montreal hasn't faced yet. Winnipeg, without Shifley, they were not as deep. And Blake Wheeler spoke about it after their game, or after their game four loss. He said it totally affected the chain. And it was a domino effect where the rest of the group wasn't at the same level it's used to being at, just with the loss of Shifley. Winnipeg's defense isn't as strong as what the Golden Knights throw at you. And then the goaltending, I mean, Hellebuck and Marc-Andre Fleury, two of the best in the game. So that doesn't change. You're going to have to find ways to get to Marc-Andre Fleury. But this is, without question, the most formidable opponent in the postseason that the Habs will face. Sorry, Toronto. Sorry, Winnipeg. Vegas is outright a better team than both.
Yeah. Two other things on the Canadian side of the playoffs, the North Division. One, more serious and then more silly. Shifley basically refusing to accept what he did. At his postseason press conference, the comment that it wasn't, I was expecting Philip Deneau to shut me down in this series, and instead it was the Department of Player Safety. And his reasoning that the Department of Player Safety really never gave me an explanation of what I was supposed to do differently, and that if I wasn't going to make that hit, then I was giving up on the play. So what do you make of Shifley's kind of, it's like a heel turn, really, because that was a guy that you never, at least I never heard about him being a dirty player or being a hated player, even on the ice or by fans. And like, man, what a heel turn in a 1 week stretch.
Yeah. I mean, a bit surprising that he kind of stuck with that narrative. The one thing I will say, Joe, is that I kind of appreciate him sharing his thoughts on it and being a little bit outspoken, because what's one thing we always knock the National Hockey League and its players for, and that's being boring. And him coming out and saying, well, I got buried by the league or the Department of Player Safety. That was interesting. And it makes it a little more intriguing. It stirs the pot a bit, makes it juicy. And that element of it, I appreciate. Do I necessarily agree with Mark Shifley? No. I mean, I understand that he was finishing a check. I understand he was mad at the end of the game. He was trying to prevent, or he didn't even try to prevent an empty net goal. So I don't necessarily agree with his point of view, but I appreciate his candor. And it's something we don't see enough of in the National Hockey League. And it might ruffle some feathers, but everyone's free to have their opinion, right? I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to agree with it. Even though we all might think he's wrong, he's sharing his thought process on it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm.
A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I mean, do I need to say any more? Are we good? No? 18 amazing flavors for the delicious Built Bar. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those are the six new flavors to go along with your 12 original flavors. Peanut butter brownie, definitely my favorite of the original flavors. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, but Built Bar, great for the healthy conscious guy as well. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diet. And if you want an example, peanut butter flavor, that's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off of your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And then the other thing that's a little bit more silly that I wanted to bring up, the CN Tower being lit up red, white, and blue for the Montreal Canadiens, and then watching all of Toronto kind of be upset about that because it was like less than 2 weeks after that series had ended. I heard an interesting comment from Sean McIndoe of The Athletic that there's this perception, at least here in the United States, that all of Canada roots for whoever's left among the Canadian teams because it's like we're all one big happy family and we're rooting for our country's team to win the cup, and it hasn't happened in so long. And Sean made the point that like that really isn't the case. Like, at least he didn't think it was the case, that people in Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver, they're not sitting there diehard rooting for Montreal for Canada. He did say the one team he thought maybe everyone could get behind like that is Winnipeg, that maybe they're not as hated or there's not as polarizing as the other teams. But would you say that's right? Like, do you get the sense in Canada? Because I really saw that up close and personal, I think, when everyone on Twitter was flipping out about the CN Tower thing.
I will support Sean's statement 110%. Nobody in Canada, I don't think, is rooting for other Canadian teams. That may have been true prior to the lockout of 04-05, when a lot of big market American teams could just buy the highest price free agents in their prime. Mm-hmm. And they were the perennial contenders year in and year out. But once that salary cap kicked in, I think it changed the perception completely, where everyone in Canada is like, everybody can afford to get to the cap and everybody's on the same playing field here. It's very level. So nobody's rooting for anybody here. And yeah, that perception that everybody gets behind one Canadian team, whoever's left standing in the postseason, is totally false. You could make the argument for like the Blue Jays and the Raptors.
Right.
That's about it. MLS, I don't think it really even factors in at all. Like, it's more regional than anything. But no, nobody in Canada, nobody at Edmonton is cheering for Montreal. Nobody in Toronto is cheering for Ottawa. It's everybody's their own little entity in city to city, province to province. There are, however, leftovers and the older generations that recall the 6-team National Hockey League. That there was only the Leafs or the Canadians to cheer for. And my dad's one of them, Italian guy from Edmonton. He was a Habs fan. And my uncle, same thing. They still kind of have this allegiance to Montreal, but they would all tell you that the Oilers are their first team to follow, watch, and cheer for. But that's an older generation thing. I mean, it's been 50 plus years since the expansion. So no, Joe, Canadians don't root for whatever last Canadian teams left standing. That's a misconception, faux show.
Yeah. Okay, and then let's get to the other side of these, what's remaining here of the semifinals. The Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning, a rematch from last year's series that went Tampa Bay's way. I was actually finding myself rooting for the Islanders in that series. I've never really ever in my life rooted for the Islanders. I'm sure part of it was a Boston effect, but another part of it was I thought they opened up their game a little bit. I mean, they weren't, you know, high flying like Vegas or Colorado, but I thought there was a lot more up and down the ice action. They weren't limiting Boston to like a small amount of shots. I mean, Boston was getting 35 to 40 shots in almost every single game. And they did do a good job defensively in moments, but like the Islanders won that series in part because they got good goaltending from Varlamov and they got scoring. Barzal had a good series. Josh Bailey, Brock Nelson, the Pajot, or not the Pajot line, the Clutterbuck, Cizikas line was chipping in goals. And it was something about that building and that fan base, like, was just, it seemed like they were going nuts the whole series. And as a team that lost their superstar 2 years ago, and as someone who's in a market who's about to lose their superstar, I kind of look to them as like, hey man, it doesn't have to be the end of the world if you lose a John Tavares type player.
Yeah, it's devastating and it sucks, but the way that they've reconstructed with that loss of Tavares is methodical. It's just sharp, and they went about it right in a rational way, and slowly but surely they developed with Barry Trotz coming in a system that works towards their strengths, and they play towards those strengths. They use what they have. It's not sexy. It doesn't get a ton of attention, and slowly but surely they built up a solid game where there's trust in one another. And Joe, they have proven to everyone that they are legit. This is the second straight year they're going to face Tampa in the semifinal/conference final. Do I think they're going to get past Tampa? No. But it is impressive, and it just goes to show you that you don't always need that superstar or superstars to lead the way. If you got a team that comes at you systematically and everybody buys in, you can get it done. And that's what the Islanders are. They're a perfect example of that.
Yeah. All right. So if you were going to make a prediction for who wins the Stanley Cup among the final four teams, who would you put your money on?
I'm going to go with Tampa and Vegas in the final, and I'm going to go with Vegas wins their first Stanley Cup. Very impressive with what they've done.
Yeah. By the way, I was wrong on that line earlier. Vegas is a minus 500 favorite to beat Montreal. I think that might be the biggest line of any series in the entire playoffs that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
So
that's tough.
Yeah. If you look at the series props, the most likely outcome, according to Bet Online, is Vegas winning the series in five games. They have it at plus 240. And as if you compare that to the Tampa Bay, well, I guess it's not too far different. The Tampa Bay and Islanders, it's six games is the most likely outcome, but it's pretty close to seven. The reason I'm asking Tom here right now what his Stanley Cup final is because this is Tom's final show on the podcast, right? Moving on. You've got other things going on. I know you're an insanely busy guy. You've got your podcast, The Oil Stream, that I know is very popular up in Edmonton. You're on TSN Radio up in Edmonton. So it's sad, man, but I'm happy for you that you're going to find some more time to do this other stuff.
Yeah, it's bittersweet, Joe. It's been a blast. Doing this show with you and Sarah has been awesome. But just time commitments and those other projects. Yep. And my actual job at TSN in Edmonton is taken away from my time to do stuff like this, which I suppose is good in a way, but bad in a way. But I guarantee you that when the Oilers face the Buffalo Sabres, you will be our guest on the pregame show. I'll make a point of not penciling it in. We're going to put it in ink. So my producer knows all about it. It's good to go locked in, if you will. Yep. And it's been a blast these last 2 years doing Locked On Oilers for the first year and then doing Locked On NHL with you. Just a ton of fun, man. Nothing beats talking about hockey. And it's nice to get outside the realm of just the Oilers too and talking about the rest of the league. So I'll miss that, but I know that you and I will continue on, and hopefully you have me on your station, WGR in Buffalo. And this just is the start of something good.
Oh yeah, man. We'll have more chats for sure. And we both have ties to Arizona. So yep. I'm going to be there next month. I think we talked about this before and you're not going to be there. You know what, if we link up at some point, if you're ever in Buffalo, if I'm ever, I don't know what, I mean, I guess it could be in Edmonton at some point in the future, if we hook up in Phoenix or something, we got to share a hard pop, man.
We'll do some social sparkler, wobbly pops, hard pops, whatever you want to call them.
Dude, that's the thing as silly as it is that I'm going to miss the most is because every week I would talk to you, I'd have something new to call alcohol. And now my vocabulary is going to be limited to my current knowledge. So maybe I'll be hitting you up or just to have chats just for that. Just
anytime. Anytime. Yeah, you know
what was the one you used? Sparkling sodas?
Social sparklers.
Social sparklers. All right. I'm going to use that one tonight. I'm going out tonight. I'm going to use that one. All right. Well, appreciate you, Tom, and all the best, man.
Likewise, Joe. It's been a blast, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast. I'll be back with Mike DeStefano on Tuesday.